From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Monday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, coming to you from a wet Oxford, Mississippi. Been raining last night and into the morning. Pretty hard, actually, this morning as I was driving over to the Clark Ford studio. Today, we'll talk a good bit of basketball, some other things going on around the sports world. Kind of in the last couple weeks of the really slow time for this part of the year. Obviously, recruiting. We'll have Russell Johnson on later in the week as they've completed a visit weekend. Also, a soft verbal presented by Billy's Pecans at some point this week as well. So you get your recruiting fix. But otherwise, basketball season in a bit of a what'd you call it, Neil? What's the noun that the basketball season is in the middle of?
Right, purgatory.
Now? Purgatory. Okay. Basketball is in purgatory. Baseball still a few weeks away. Spring football about 30 days away or so as well. Those things going on, so we'll just kind of get you through to those days. The podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. I've been telling you, checking them out for a couple events coming up soon. February 3rd, Hometown Sessions with Jamie Lynn Spears. That's in Macomb. You can get tickets at eventbrite.com. And then on the Ole Miss campus, February 24th, Craddock Oil, again, the presenting sponsor for the FCA breakfast. Evan Ingram, Giants tight end, former Ole Miss All-American, is the featured guest for that as well. So get your tickets. FCA, also February 3rd in Macomb with Jamie Lynn Spears. A couple events coming your way for that. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. It is right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You get your quote, and if you want to, you can shop it around. That's up to you. It's your prerogative. Or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience, get a great new Ford product, fantastic service after the sale, all with no hassle. You'll be thrilled with your purchase, as so many others who have listened to this podcast and gone through with it are. So, again, 662-257-1900. At the end of your deal, tell Corey, say, hey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. It's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory.
I effectively accomplished my goal of not watching a single snap of football this weekend.
Really?
Nothing. Not a single snap. Never even turned it on a channel for a pregame show. I mean, absolutely no football in my line of sight all day.
I watched most of the AFC title game. I didn't see the beginning. I saw most of it. It was predictable. When Jacksonville couldn't extend the lead more than it did, you knew Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady. And then went over to my parents for dinner last night, and it was on, but we really didn't watch the blowout in the NFC title
game. What was
the
final?
38-7.
Is that bad? Okay.
Yeah, 7-0. Minnesota, then there was a pick six, and that was the beginning of a 38-point
run. Should that make me feel better?
No.
Okay.
No. No, you should still feel every bit as crappy as you do.
All right, just wondering. The team that beats you gets just run out of the building, though?
Yeah, but they weren't supposed to beat the Saints.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Saints will have to live with that for a while. The Saints played a really bad first half of football, and it cost them. Everybody keeps talking about that one last play, and I get it. I get it. There's no way around that last play. It did lose the game, but it should have never come to that, and that part's undebatable. The first half of that game, as was witnessed yesterday by Nick Foles destroying the Vikings, it should never have come to that. So we get Philly and New England, a rematch of Super Bowl, I think 39 or something along those lines.
Back in the Donovan McNabb days.
Yeah. Blah. It's the Super Bowl, and so, like Carson's already said, hey, are we going to do wings on the Super Bowl Sunday? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? I'm not going to be that big of a...
I'll go to a party just to socialize and just kind of ignore the game on the television.
Yeah, I'll... I'll do some wings on a – I can't do it on the Big Green Egg because that's broken.
I heard, told me that.
Yeah.
It's a bad day, wasn't it?
That was a shitty day, pardon my language.
I mean, that's
– I don't think it was attached properly, the top, because I had to have the spring replaced.
Okay.
And the spring didn't break. It just came out.
So what happened? I mean, you've had it, though, for so long. It had to have been attached properly at some point.
Well, it was just got recently reattached.
Oh, that's not good.
Remember I had to replace the spring?
Oh.
Here's my theory, okay. And I'm not a scientist.
Okay.
My theory is that all of the cold weather had created some contraction.
Okay.
And it wasn't as tight as it needed to be.
Okay.
And when I opened it and the flames kind of shot out, and I had to kind of let it go.
Expanded it?
It just sprung. And okay. When it did, it wasn't held tightly enough. And it's broken. So it's possible that I might just order a new dome. I don't know. Possible that I might just go eggless for a long time. I don't know. So.
Did you just kind of stare at it? Did you cuss? What'd you do?
No, I didn't cuss, believe it or not. I was mad at myself. Because I knew that. The fire was hotter than I wanted it to be, and I was battling it a little bit that night because it was super cold out, and it was windy, and the wind was getting into the bottom,
yeah,
and it was creating a lot of excess heat. And it was the one time I opened it the whole night without putting a glove on, and so had I had the glove on, I would have just dealt with it, but I didn't want to burn my arm up, and so I had to kind of let it go, and I was mad at myself about that.
Okay.
So, anyway, he wants wings, so we'll figure out a way to do wings for Super Bowl Sunday. It's probably going to be just me and him because Caroline's got a dance competition somewhere, and Campbell's not going to be hanging out here. So, I'll turn the game on because that's what you're supposed to do, but I'm not interested. If you tell me that Philadelphia, a team that I really don't like for no reason, I don't like Philadelphia sports teams much.
Okay.
I have no idea why. I just don't. If you tell me that Philadelphia is in the game in the fourth quarter, that might draw me in and make me interested.
I actually think it's close. I do.
I'm so tired, though. I mean, you didn't watch it.
No.
Tom Brady apparently cut his hand.
12 stitches.
Okay. He didn't cut it off. It just, it's obnoxious. It's, let's take a close-up of his hand. Another close-up of his hand.
Boston likes these kind of things. You got Schilling's bloody sock. Now we have Brady's hand. It's.
Oh, my God. Enough.
Some of it's you're tired of the Patriots.
Oh, I have Patriot fatigue. They've been in the Super Bowl every year since.
Well, I told you that graphic the other day on ESPN. I saw it last night because they won the game, so I put another one of his pictures up. Since 2003, the AFC quarterbacks in the Super Bowl are Roethlisberger, Manning, Brady, and one Joe Flacco. That's
wow.
It since 2003.
And how many of those are Brady? Like, this is his
sixth or seventh or something?
He's won five.
No, actually, it might be eight.
This is his eighth Super Bowl. He's won five Super Bowls. Yeah, he's lost two.
Yeah, you're right.
So this is his eighth Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's eighth. It's eight for Brady Belichick, and that's twice as many as any other coach quarterback combination.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Montana and Walsh maybe is the four.
Brady, I mean, Bradshaw went to four. How many Staubach go to? I don't know. Three,
I don't
four.
Think it was four, but.
I don't know. Peyton went to.
Well. With one coach, only 2-2 or 1-1-2, because he went to 2 with the Broncos and 2 with the Colts.
So Peyton Manning played in 4 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is correct. We went 2-2.
Yeah.
Lost. Went 1-1 with both franchises, Broncos and Colts.
There were some moments yesterday that the Jags had a chance. They had a chance to kind of. Do it. They just couldn't get there. They got super conservative at times, and then.
Well, I mean, two timeouts and kneel down with 55 seconds left in the half. I saw a stat saying that no team all season had kneeled down with more than 50 seconds left on the clock this season.
Yeah, they were at that point, and at that point, I sort of supported that decision. They needed to get to the half with the lead, and okay. They came out in the third quarter and got a field goal on their first drive. But you need touchdowns. I mean, breaking touchdowns are better than field goals.
Thanks.
So anyway, congratulations to the Patriots, yay. I still feel no different than I felt a week ago, which is if this were Saints-Patriots, I would be really geeked up for the Super Bowl. I mean, it would be 2 weeks of almost counting down the days.
I do think most of the country would be cheering for an earthquake, but yeah.
That's possible.
Potentially be the two most hated teams in the league playing in the Super Bowl.
But again, the breeze factor stops the Saints from being hated. So I guess we're all Eagles fans for 14 days. It's hard to cheer for the Eagles, frankly. There's nothing about the Eagles that makes me go, oh, how, what a neat story. I have nothing against Nick Foles. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Did you see the guy that was running next to the subway or whatever that hit the pole last night?
Yeah, that hurt.
It looked like it hurt. I was kind of I was happy for him, and just from the instance of he didn't fall back into the gully with the tracks was my main concern when he first hit the pole.
He's hurting today.
Oh, that was a bad one. So
he is hurting today. That pole did not give. No. Not even a little.
Yeah, no, I watched a ton of golf to avoid football. I mean, more golf than I've watched in a really long time. I watched European Tour, Web.com Tour, PGA Tour, and went to the golf course yesterday to kill time. I mean, I have had my fix.
I understand. So, I'd make fun, but I would do the exact same thing if that were the Cubs.
I mean, I remember you contemplating going to movies and things during certain games.
Sure.
Never actually did it, but.
But when the Cubs lost in the NLCS last year, I didn't watch much World Series.
No, you really didn't, did you?
I was kind of done.
Were you?
When the Thunder lost to the Warriors, I did not watch that finals.
Fair enough.
So I get it.
Yeah. All right. Basketball, Ole Miss losing 97-93. Is that correct?
I think that's right. It was a 4-point game.
Arkansas.
I think that's right.
Scored a lot of points. Again, got down super early. Was down 16 at one point in the
down
first 18 half.
18 at 18, one point.
Okay. Yep. And came back. Terrence Davis looked like his old self, had a great game.
Yeah.
They had foul trouble with Bruce Stevens, some others.
Players score at least 15 points. They shot well enough in every facet of the game to win. They actually won rebounds again. They won the turnover battle again. It was essentially a wash, but they did technically win it. They can't stop anybody again. This team is back to being what it was early in the year when they scored at will. 93 points on the road at Arkansas is a hell of an effort. But you can't give up 90. They can't get a stop. It's bizarre. It really is. Because for the 2 weeks going into this game, they couldn't score, but they were really stingy on the defensive end. They were an absolute sieve the other day against Arkansas, who shot the lights out. Made some crazy shots. But they still shot really, really well. Had a lot of open looks. Arkansas made the extra pass a lot, got the open look, made a bucket. Ole Miss couldn't get a stop. If Ole Miss could have gotten a couple of stops late in the game, they would have had a chance. They just couldn't do it. And then, you know, didn't execute particularly well either. Put the wrong guy on the foul line over and over and over and over.
At the end of the day, though, it's just a flawed basketball team. Whatever the stat is that can be a detriment, that is the stat that is the detriment.
Yeah. There's no arguing it. They're 3-4 in the league. They get Alabama at home tomorrow night.
Colin Sexton missed the game Saturday. We'll see.
Yeah. And Alabama still won, right?
Yep.
They beat State.
They did. Had a huge lead. State came back, and Alabama put it away at the end.
Okay. I mean, frankly, Ole Miss got down 18, and I was flipping because the Thunder and the Cavs tipped off at the exact same time. Well, actually, a few minutes after Ole Miss, Arkansas. And so I was flipping. I flipped over to the Thunder, and when I flipped back, Ole Miss was only down 5. I was like, how the hell did that happen? But that's what they did. They kept making these runs, but they couldn't get there. And they're flawed. There's no doubt they're flawed. There was one point early where – and you can criticize the official here if you'd like, and I get it. It was a stupid technical to call. But when you're Brian Tyree right there and you just committed your second foul, you can't bitch your way down the floor and get a third. You have to have some awareness. Now, DeAndre Burnett bailed him out a little bit by playing a really solid point guard game. But it's the little things. It's little things, and I don't know what that is. You want to pin that on coaching? Pin it on coaching. You want to pin it on? I don't know. I don't know what to pin it on. They're playing decent basketball. They're playing pretty good basketball. They just played three teams in a row that are going to the NCAA tournament, and they're 1-2. And they could have been 0-3, and they could have been 3-0. But they're 1-2, and 1-2 is not going to get you anywhere where they are right now, except it's going to create just more of this incessant debate that is, what's today, January the 21st?
Close enough, 22nd, I think.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's a long time between now and March. There's a whole month left, last I checked.
Got a week where they play Alabama on Tuesday.
Yeah, right? Tuesday. Then they go to Texas. I think that game's
Saturday
at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, ESPN2 for that. Then they come back home and play Auburn on the next Tuesday at 8 o'clock, SEC Network.
Ugh. I say just because of the 8 o'clock tip.
Yeah, you get a 7:30 and an 8 the next week.
The two things I'm watching, what's the crowd tomorrow night? What's the crowd next Tuesday? What do they look like? They're not quitting. They played. I mean, again, I've been saying all along, I thought Davis would come out of his slump, and he did. Made big shots. Made some shots early, got some confidence, and looked like his old self. But they didn't do it on defense. And to beat Alabama, you'll have to play defense because Alabama's going to defend you.
I want to stop you there for a second. I'm going to go to that back in a second, something you just said. First, before we do that, tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com. They're in Holly Springs. They deliver it to you wherever you are. They can help you out with fast, friendly service. And now they have a branch in Oxford as well. They have taken over G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar in Oxford. You can give them a call, 662-236-2222. They will also deliver local and give you a local pharmacy that cares about you. Again, G&M in Oxford and then Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs. That Tyson Drugs number, 662-252-2321.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. So give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, he challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. Go to Google, put Romero Miller State Farm in your little search engine thingy. Hit the click button. And then read the reviews. And after that, you should do what so many others have done. If you live in Tennessee or Mississippi and you have insurance needs, give Romero Miller State Farm a call, 662-893-1212. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings. So call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com. or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a really good one when you get Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662 342-7700 or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
All right, a couple different things here. You've got 10 thoughts up on the site. You, one of your earlier thoughts said, look, we're not going hot board. We're not going coaches replacing Andy Kennedy until the time is, can be made. A lot of reasons for that. Number one, Andy deserves to, if it is the end, go out in the most respectful way possible.
Yes. And I'm not yet convinced from anyone in a position of power that we're there yet.
Yeah, we're basing a lot of this off off-season talk more than in-season talk. And what the expectation was.
Well, and in fairness, there's a, and I cited it, and it was the number one thought in my story. Antonio Morales had a really good story about a week or so ago where he talked to Ross Bjork, and he also talked to Jeffrey Vitter, and it was Vitter's quote that...
Here, I'll find it. Go ahead.
The Vitter quote...
I got it right here. All right. Vitter claims that the school offered Kennedy... We've all talked about this. We've all talked PowerPoints. We've all talked Andy not getting that fourth year guaranteed in a contract. From the article, again, quoting Antonio's article, Vitter claims the school offered Kennedy a four-year contract that would have raised his salary but lowered the amount it would take to buy him out. Basically, again, he would make more money, but if they want to fire him, they wouldn't have to give him as much when they fired him. Quote from Vitter, we were focused on paying for success, not for not doing well, and Andy chose not to do that, end quote.
It's a harsh quote when you break it down. It's a quote that comes across as adversarial in my world. If I read that quote from my boss, I'm thinking, well, we're not on the same page. I'm not criticizing Vitter for making the comment. It's a strong
comment. In Vitter's
comment.
Mind, he's frustrated because he goes, look, I've tried to give him more money. If he wins, then what's the problem?
I don't know. It's one of those things that was really weird. The way it was communicated back last year leaves a lot to be interpreted.
Yeah.
And maybe there's nothing you can do about that. Maybe you can't come out in a personnel situation like this and say, well, here's exactly what happened, precisely what happened. But enough kind of leaked out both ways that it created a narrative, whether accurate or not, I don't know, that the two sides aren't really simpatico.
Yeah, we had heard the entire time that Ole Miss had offered Andy the ability to have a fourth year, but essentially the fourth year wasn't guaranteed, is the way that it was going. That was the first I'd heard there was a salary bump involved as well. I had not heard that prior to this. Maybe you had. I had not.
Yeah, I'd heard a little bit that maybe they'd offered more salary, but they wanted to dramatically change the buyout. I think some of this, and I wrote this in 10 Thoughts. 10 Thoughts were brought to you by Harry Alexander, by the way. Harry's an Oxford-based Remax Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford 4 decades. You should check him out. It's harryalexander.com. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. So I wrote this in 10 Thoughts that there's more to it than that. It's like anything else. It's really nuanced, and there's a lot of ego involved. I think Kennedy looked at it, whether this is right or wrong, it's for someone else to determine, and said, you just rolled over the damn football coach. You rolled him over. He's back to a full buyout. He just lost by a gazillion to Mississippi State a week after losing by almost a gazillion to Vanderbilt. He's got you. Y'all about to get your second NOA. Your program's in chaos. Meanwhile, I'm over here. There's not a whiff of NCAA trouble. No, we're not winning the way we'd like to, but at this moment, I've just gone to the tournament two of the last 3 years, or two of the last 4 years, whatever it was. I'm not sure I get it, and I'm digging my heels in. Now, is that right or wrong? I don't know. That's for you to determine. But I think that's kind of where some of the there's nuance that was lacking in Vitter's
quote. I agree with you. We said the entire time, you either extend him back out or you fire him, one or the other, was the way we both agree here. But
yes.
Everybody agreeing makes for a really crappy podcast. So
it
let
does.
Me throw this at you.
Okay.
The devil's advocate to that would be, yes, there was a really bad year and we got a lot of stuff going on. At this time, we don't know everything going on with football. Hugh Freeze, at this point, has not been found with all the stuff that he ends up being fined with. And I miss those access bowls that happen in basketball or the equivalent.
Yeah, and that's fair. It is. It's fair. And then you get into the whole, well, you're not as committed to this as you are to that, and all that baloney that everybody does. And that there's a lot of truth in that stuff. There's excuses in that stuff. There's truth in those excuses. I mean, look, this basketball thing, if it goes the direction that so many think it's going to go, it's going to be really fascinating to see how a coaching search is conducted. And you said this before we started. It's a lot of anger right now at the process that was used to hire the football coach. Not at who was hired or at how he has done. But people still kind of feel like they got misled and lied to a little bit on the process. And so now you go into this basketball thing, which is not in the world, the Ole Miss basketball job is not as attractive as it relates to other basketball jobs as the Ole Miss football job is as it relates to other football jobs.
Right.
You can make an argument, a very compelling argument, that the Ole Miss football job is one of the top 25 football jobs in the country. You can make that argument, and you can make it compelling.
Yep.
You cannot make that argument in basketball. You can't even think about making that argument in basketball. Now, someone goes, well, you know, we just pay for it. Okay, cool. You going to throw $3.1 million? Well, hell yeah, the job's going to get more attractive. But there's no sign at all that Ole Miss wants to do that or can do that. Now, you're going to go pay $3.5 million a year for a coach? Well, that's going to change the game. That's going to change the game. You're going to increase assistant pools where you can hire a guy and say, go hire whoever you need to hire. Go do whatever you need to do. Okay. Well, that's a game changer. But based on where they are right now as it relates to salaries and such, based on their NBA presence, which is nil, based on some of the way that the program is viewed by AAU people, shoe people, stuff like that, stuff that matters in this sport, it's tough. It's a tough gig. I'm not saying no one will take it. I'm not saying that. But it's a tough gig. And if you walk away with Elston Turner as your coach because he went to Ole Miss, well, you will have made an egregious error.
You know, and I don't think that's happening, but I understand your point.
I don't think it is either. I'm just throwing him out there as, you know, it's
two thoughts. One is that, look, the fan, unless you go steal someone's coach out of the top 30 teams in the country, the fan base is going to be split on the success of the hire, and then we'll look back in 2 years and see whether it worked or not. That's with anything. Okay, fine, whatever. Especially basketball, because, and I'm included in this, so much more than football, where it's kind of easy because, hey, we've got Power 5, we have UCF, it's a cute story. Here is the way this works. Basketball is a lot more complicated than that, from a who's good, who's not, why, and how so. So fan bases in general aren't as educated on coaches, what's a good hire, what's a bad hire, and why that is. The other thing that Ole Miss is seeing a little bit right now, and this would happen in any school, it's happened in basketball, it's going to happen with baseball if they don't have a really good season. Having the really long tenured coach after a certain amount of time is a problem.
Sure.
Unless you've won at the highest levels where, I mean, obviously nobody's going, hey, you know, Mike Krzyzewski really got to move on here. Things like that. Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech when he was out. I mean, there's if you get to a certain limit, a certain number of times, okay. But if any type of relative mediocrity to expectations creeps in, he's been here too long, it's sour, let's move on. And Ole Miss is dealing with that right now with a fan base with Andy Kennedy. And then if it doesn't go well, they're going to be dealing with that with the fan base with Mike Bianco here in a few months as well.
It's the question that I'll have in baseball if they don't get off to a really hot start. What are the crowds? What's the energy? It's one of the reasons that, God, I hate doing this because it comes across like it's an anti-Matt Luke thing, and it's not. It's one of the reasons I was surprised they didn't go clean slate in football. Because Vaught Hemingway was stale last year. It wasn't electric. Would you agree with that?
100%, yeah.
The Pavilion has not been electric this year. Now, I was not at the Florida game. I don't know whether that was different. But it's been pretty quiet. You know, last year at times, on TV at least, Swayze didn't seem to be rocking the way that it has in the past.
It really was early, and then once they hit that decline, the energy went out. Here's what happens. Now, this kind of feeds into this. You lose the energy so much quicker. You don't get that extra bit of really capital that you would think these people have built up.
Yeah.
But instead, it kind of goes in reverse. It's, oh, my God, same thing.
Yeah. Well, it's I mean, I hate to do the Houston nut thing, but some of it is the environment in which we live. The news cycle's really short.
The world in which we live.
The world in which we live. Things change. People want new. New is good. Fresh is good. And when something gets stale, it gets. That's why I'm curious to see what the crowd looks like tomorrow night. How many people on a Tuesday night, a school week, going to be chilly outside, but not brutal, but how many clear skies, how many people show up on a Tuesday night at 7:30 to go to a basketball game, knowing that means you're not going to get into your nice, warm, cozy bed, probably until, if you live in Oxford, even 10:15. If you live in Memphis, you're not getting to bed until close to midnight. If you live in Jackson, you're not getting to bed until after midnight. If you live in Tupelo, you're getting in your bed around 11:15, 11:30, and the alarm's going off the next morning. You got to get little Johnny and little Jenny up for school and off to work and all that stuff. How many people show up for the game?
I'm unfairly going to ask you to speculate here.
Okay.
You talk about crowds, things you would look at if you were an AD and factoring in decisions and things.
Yeah.
What do you think actually matters? Crowds matter?
Yeah, crowds matter.
Just wins, losses? What all is actually going to factor into this next month and a half?
I'm going to look at what the team looks like on the floor.
Cohesive-wise, attitude-wise?
All of that.
Okay.
Do they win games? They got to win some games. I mean, look, what are they right now, 3-4?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're 5-13, this is simple. What if they're 9-9? I have to then ask myself, and this is the part that where I think this is where some of the fan skepticism kicks in, and it's probably not completely fair, but life's not fair. People say, who are we hiring? Who are we getting? What are we paying? Who are we getting? Because they're just coming off a football search where this is the part that's unfair. You talk about a national search that results in you hiring your offensive line coach. Now, he might end up being a great coach, and he's doing a great job so far from all indications. But still, that's where some of that comes from, who you're hiring.
Yeah, no, the right coach is the right coach. It's far from a criticism of Matt Luke.
Right.
But it's given the segment of the fan base that is already kind of annoyed the ammunition to go, well, are we just staying in the buildings? What are we doing?
Right. The cynical fan who goes, so what are we doing? We're going to hire off his staff? We're going to just go find an Ole Miss grad somewhere?
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to do?
Typically, that's just emotional fan. But
sure. It's cynical. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pissed off at this. And I don't really want to be open-minded. But I
feel like Ole Miss fans in general. I told you this before we started the show. We were just kind of talking, not really doing a pre-show because we had nothing to talk about. We're trying to figure that out. But I think I talk to a lot of Ole Miss fans, a ton. A lot of my buddies who are very logical, not the real emotional, not the message boarder, not the guy that posts all the time, the guy that has – 3 or 4 season tickets in a couple different sports and is around my age, and here's what I think.
He's around your age. He has a job and 2.7 kids, and he's
yeah,
busy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Down the road, probably he'll give a little cash, some pretty good cash at some point as he gets older. I think that they – because, I mean, I think had Michael Thompson been in the room with us having the conversation, they go, well, just because they have a national search doesn't mean Matt wasn't the winner of the national search. And I said, yeah, absolutely. I get
sure.
that. I'm not arguing that. I'm talking from judgment of fans. Kind of
sure.
like Ryan Brown Friday going, well, here's what Alabama fan thinks. That's not what Ryan thought. It was what Alabama fan thought.
Sure.
So I think that's part of it. And then they go, I think the Ole Miss fan that I'm talking about, and I think some will be nodding along as I say this, it's not that they think that being a Ole Miss person is a requirement necessarily at all. They don't think that. It doesn't go that hyperbolic and that crazy. And I get how being an Ole Miss person should not be a detriment in any way.
Right.
But I do think that the Ole Miss person I'm talking about is ready in some sport, and they really don't care for them to go hire some dude and take him away from some of their staff. I don't care. I don't think they even necessarily care what sport it is, basketball, football, maybe baseball too. I don't know. It's a little different animal. But to go, hey, we're in the SEC now. We're at this big boy table.
Yeah.
Because they're just now kind of at that table. We're 5 years in or so of Ole Miss being the huge nine-digit budgets and that kind of thing.
At the main table at the holiday dinner.
Where you go, okay, so now let's flex some muscle. It's not against Matt Luke. It's not against Andy Kennedy. It's not against Mike Bianco. It's not against anybody else. But it's, hey, if we're in this, why are we not going and grabbing that coordinator? Why are we not going and taking
– stick with your table analogy. It's – in the past, oh, you know, yeah, I'm still hungry, but I'll defer to you because, well, you're bigger and tougher than me.
Yeah.
And this is now you're saying, no, I'm going to take the last damn turkey leg.
Yeah.
I
get the big piece of chicken for once.
You want to fight? Let's fight. That's what they want.
Yeah.
And no one sees that.
They want a head. They wanted a coach to come in some sport from a very reputable Division I program, a Power 5 program, and go, no, we went and took your guy. It's our dude now.
Yeah. I get that.
We're in the SEC. Let's play. They watched. Again, it has. And this is going to get construed so many wrong ways. And, oh, my God. It's nothing against Matt or anybody else. Is that a lot of these guys looked up and said, Texas A&M went and got Jimbo. Why don't we go get Jimbo?
That's fair. I'm sorry, but that is a completely fair thing to say. And yet, on the other hand, go, I think Matt Luke's a good coach, and he might end up doing a great job. And in 2 years, we might look back and go, hey, you know what? You guys nailed that.
Yeah, I mean, through January 22nd, Matt Luke is probably at 99% of as great of a job as he could have done at this point. Or anybody would have done at this point.
But I do think
it's two different arguments.
Yes.
It's not about Matt.
Yes, it's not about Matt at all. It's why I thought they were hiring Dave Doran. Because the column that gets written when you hire Dave Doran is, Ross Bjork went out, and this is not about Dave Doran. For the love of God, let's not start that. The column that gets written, the national perception that gets perceived is, damn, they don't even know their penalty yet. That dude hadn't even been to Oxford. They just walked out, potentially days away from getting hammered by the NCAA, and they took NC State's coach, threw some money at him, threw SEC at him. Look at that. Look at that. That dude went to the Orange Bowl with Northern Illinois and just took NC State, not exactly a football factory, to 8 wins. Some bitch. That was the column. It's the column I was going to write. When everybody goes, oh, you hate Ole Miss, you're the worst person in the world, I was going to write, whoa, hello, that's a statement. Now,
the nut graph of that is the emotional fan, or the fan in general, not emotional, sorry, right. Just the fan in general. They don't look at, okay, football search, basketball search, all this stuff separate.
Right.
It's an overall athletic department thing. So the whole point of this is that all that football stuff is bleeding into the basketball thing
from the standpoint of
where you go here.
I think you're exactly right. And the basketball thing's different. And by the way, let me finish on this Doran thing. I'm not saying that Doran would be a better hire than Luke. I don't know Dave Doran. I've never talked to him. I don't know him.
He is a football robot, apparently, that has very little personality.
Yes.
That's what you're getting with Dave Doran.
Yes. You're getting a younger, defensive-minded David Cutcliffe.
That's not wrong, yeah.
And maybe that would work, and maybe it wouldn't. We're not going to find out anytime soon. I'm not debating it. It's not a criticism of Matt Luke. Again, to this point, January the 22nd, it appears that Matt Luke was a really good hire.
Yes.
There. Now, move to basketball. It's not the same job. Maybe it will be, and maybe you're going to throw so much money at it that you'll make it that. Because you can throw enough money at something to make it work. I mean, if the Brewers throw enough money at Yu Darvish, he'll go, hey, I've always wanted to live in Milwaukee. There is a way that you can go pay your way into something. But I don't know that on the heels of a $17 million hit, athletically, that this is the time to do that. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not.
And in basketball, you don't just pay your way into something with a head coach salary.
And you're going to have to pay off the previous head coach. He's going to have some buyout.
I'm not talking about anything budgeted.
You're talking about keeping it real.
I am.
But let's just say, but at the current, like this, the message board thread about the Butler coach. Butler coach is not leaving for Ole Miss. Butler's a better job than Ole Miss. It's in Indianapolis, which means it's in Indiana.
Yeah.
They have an NBA presence. No, not a great Duke NBA presence, but they have an NBA presence. The previous coach is coaching the Celtics now. This guy played at Butler. He's not leaving Butler for Ole Miss.
They played in two NCAA finals. They're sexy.
Yeah, they go to the tournament all the time. They just beat the number one team in the country.
In their little category, they're very sexy. Wichita State, very sexy. Same kind of thing.
Those kind of things don't happen in football. In football, even when you – Central Florida is the best example. Even when you have some sexy, when you wake up in the morning, you put on that dress, and damn, it fits just right. All that means is that you're getting snapped up. You're gone. You're not staying there. Scott Frost was gone.
Basketball allows Gonzaga, Wichita, Butler to be perennial powers.
And that's the key word.
In football, the bureaucracy and the system beats that team back down into the ground.
It only allows you to be Cinderella for one night. You get to go to the ball.
You can be cute like Boise for a little while, but you're still not going where you want to go.
Clock's going to strike midnight. You can dance with the prince until midnight. Then that bitch is over.
Yeah.
Then you got to go back and get yourself all fixed up again because you're starting from scratch. In basketball, you can stay that. You can be Wichita State and stay that for a long time. You can be Gonzaga.
Gonzaga's played for a title. Wichita State's been a one seed. Butler's been in it twice.
If you're the coach at St. Mary's, for example, and you get offered a SEC job where they haven't gotten much done, you got to go, I don't know, man. I got to really think about that. If you're the football coach at St. Mary's and they offer you the Ole Miss football job, you are in the plane. It's different, and it's not an Ole Miss criticism. It's just different. And it's hard. I mean, look, Mississippi State, with some connections that Ole Miss doesn't have as it pertains to basketball, went out and hired a guy who had success at Pittsburgh, at UCLA.
Yeah.
Coached some pros. Last I checked, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Love, those cats are pretty good.
Yeah.
Darren Collison.
Yeah.
Good players. He's not getting it done. It's not happening so far at Mississippi State. And everybody goes, well, it's gonna. Well, it's not. It hadn't yet. I mean, in hindsight, they'd have been a hell of a lot better off sticking with Rick Stansbury. He sort of knew the back tunnels.
Yeah, no, football, whole different animal. Basketball is more similar to baseball. I mean, you look at 2 years ago or whenever it was, Alabama calls Cliff Godwin at East Carolina, and Cliff goes, nah, I'm good. No, thanks. Alabama? Nah.
Yeah.
Not interested. New stadium? Yeah, nah, good.
Yeah.
It's all fine.
It's very complicated. It's so if people ask, have you heard names? I've heard a couple names.
Yeah.
Because while you talk to a lot of Ole Miss people, I don't really know a lot of Ole Miss people. I talk to basketball people. I do know some basketball people. And I've talked to some people and said, what are you hearing? And they all say kind of the same thing, which is Ole Miss really going to do that? I'm like, I have no idea. And they're like, boy, that's risky. I get it, because it gets stale.
Reminds me a lot of David Cutcliffe. Has a very similar tone to David Cutcliffe, 03-04.
Yeah, prepare yourself, Ole Miss fan, for backlash. Because people are going to look at it and go, he won. Because Rod Barnes won big, and then at the end, that was bad. It was three or four really bad years in a row that Andy has avoided completely to this date. Anything that resembles those bottomed out years.
Well, and going full circle, national media is going to do that because of what they think of your job.
Yes. Now, you can change that narrative over time, but that's coming in March. If if Ole Miss makes that move. So prepare yourself for what's going to feel like people picking on you. The perception of your job nationally by media and by a lot of coaches, frankly, is that's a cemetery. Is it? I don't know. That's for you to determine. That's for Ole Miss to change. I'm not, like I wrote.
Well, no, look, any program with Ole Miss's overall athletic resources, they can decide to win in something if you really, really, really get dedicated to it.
Yes.
Now, do they have the wherewithal to do that and the care to do that? I don't know.
I don't either.
But, you know, you can.
And that's not why people get mad at you or me or whatever. I'm like, let me tell you two things. No one's going to ask my opinion. And I am not going to be part of the decision-making process. Not even a little bit. I don't think anybody's going to ask your opinion, and they'd ask yours before they'd ask mine, and you will not be part of the decision-making process. So this is the whole messenger thing. If you have strong opinions, there's two or three people on this planet you need to talk to.
Yeah, it's not one of you or I.
And we're not in it. They're not in the Clark Ford studios.
They are not. In saying that, I do have pretty strong opinions on mortgage brokers in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Check out Community Mortgage because they do all underwriting and processing in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting and understand your market. They also have the float down option, as you know by now, lets you lock in your rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss and Alabama tomorrow night, 7:30. That game, I believe, is on the SEC Network, but you can get tickets and see it live and in color at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals. You should go in, test drive one of the new 2018 Nissans. You'll love it. Great service. I've been a loyal Grenada Nissan customer for a long time. No regrets. And great service after the sale. Great, just everything you could want in your car buying experience from Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide. They offer all the technology and products you want, all with a personal touch. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Podcast also brought to you by Bashcuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. For a free quote, mastercutslawn.com. Remember, you sign an annual contract, mention the podcast, First Cut is free. I've been using them for a long time. You should too, whether it's to take care of your landscaping, help you build an outdoor living area, kitchen, outdoor, or even a fence or a deck or something along those lines. They can hook you up. So again, 662-607-7773. We're getting really close to the end of the basketball season with all the teeth gnashing and a potential early baseball losses causing teeth gnashing. Going to be a really fun time on the message board here over the next 4 to 6 weeks as I'm checking this out. Ole Miss plays a Winthrop team with a couple arms in the season opener. They go to Long Beach State for a very difficult weekend series.
Don't make excuses.
Play Tulane at home.
Either win 56 games or it's time to fire somebody.
Yeah. 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 They do have a stretch, and I'm a little bit worried about my sanity. I was looking at the schedule. from March 22nd until April 15th, ending on tax day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
The weekend series, at A&M, Arkansas, at Mississippi State, at Vanderbilt, and has midweeks against Memphis and Southern Miss built into those. Oof. Oh, my God.
Combined with taxes, some unhappy people.
That's going to be a rough 4 weeks if they don't get off to a really good start during the early part of the SEC play. Schedule very front-loaded. Back into the schedule, nowhere near as tough as the beginning.
March 22nd.
Yeah.
About the time that all hell could be breaking loose, or not. Because, frankly, if Ole Miss makes a decision to keep Andy Kennedy, which I think is on the table, there's going to be a group of people that are going to get angry about it. There's going to be anger about that decision one way or the other.
Yeah, Ole Miss has a chance to be white hot the second half of SEC play in baseball. And if you had to be hot back end or front end, I'm not sure they'd be hot on the back end.
Not even close.
Because what I was talking about, they opened with Tennessee at home, and then A&M, Arkansas State, and Vanderbilt, really talented teams, really good teams. Arkansas probably the best team in the West. A&M right there with Ole Miss, second, third, somewhere in there. LSU's going to be down, but anyway. Back half of the schedule, Georgia, LSU, South Carolina in a rebuilding year, Auburn and Alabama. Really good back half there to try to get some momentum heading into the postseason. That's not a bad schedule.
No, that's the way. I'd rather end that way.
You miss Florida, you miss Kentucky, and then you get that. Auburn is very high in some rankings. I think Casey Mize is not going to finish the season healthy, so I don't like them as much. Hope he is. I mean, seems like a good kid, but just a lot of arm issues going on, and I don't – over the course of 14 weeks, I'm not sure how I feel about that, so – we'll see. But anyway, a lot of time to talk baseball. Just happened to notice that here on the website. So, nonetheless, what else is going on?
Where do you fall on the Danica Patrick hot meter?
How old is she?
Well, let's see.
I need all the information if we're going to have this conversation.
Danica Patrick is 35. She was born in Beloit, Wisconsin.
She's a year older than me.
Okay.
Attractive has always looked a little older than she is to me. I mean, a very difficult scale here, obviously. I mean, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She doesn't look 35 to me. I would have guessed 40. What?
I don't want to say the things that come to my mind. I'm trying not to do it.
I was very surprised that her and Aaron Rodgers were dating.
Yeah.
It did not appear to be Aaron's type, is all I'm saying.
I would have thought he could have done better.
Just different. There is no better, Neil. Different.
I would have thought he could have done different.
She's a really nice girl, Neil.
I'm sure she is.
What are you
is.
Doing?
No, really? I'm looking at photos.
I think she had that thought in her mind going, I'm following Olivia Munn.
Yeah. Be sort of like me following Brad Pitt.
Well, it's, come on,
I'm going to disappoint.
It's not quite that difference.
It's close.
Oh, look at you over there.
I mean, see, to me, like, you pull up Olivia Munn.
You're in that mood right now where you'd call Kate Upton a six.
Well, you pull up Olivia Munn, and when you have the is she hot or not discussion.
There's not a whole lot of discussion.
Yeah, you go, yeah, she's hot. The end.
She's an attractive human.
Yeah.
And Danica's not nowhere near ugly.
No, not at all. Just, I'm surprised that's.
She's done with racing after this year.
Yeah, she's done.
Yeah. She's doing the double or whatever. She's gonna do the Indy 500 and Talladega or Daytona or something and then call it quits. I think they're calling it the Danica double. But, I mean, he's obviously who he is. Is Aaron Rodgers a great-looking dude?
I mean, he he's a nice looking guy. I don't think he's great looking.
Your heterosexuality is intact. I'm asking you a question.
No, I know. I've never been that guy, by the way. I've never been that guy. Oh, I can't say another guy's good looking because that makes me gay. Stop. That's ridiculous. He's a good looking guy.
Women listeners, help me out on Twitter here. How do you rate Aaron Rodgers? I need some feedback.
I mean, I'm curious too. Like, give Aaron Rodgers a 1 to 10 score.
Because I mean, yeah, good looking dude, but I'm not confusing him with the best looking dudes in the world or anything. So,
yeah, not at all.
He's got kind of a big nose.
I pulled up. Who are the? Oh, that's 50 most beautiful men of all time.
That's not really doing much for me.
Let's see. According to Glamour UK.
Sure.
Don't you hate when they start at 100 and go down? Trying to get to number one. All right. Maybe. They say Jamie Dornan.
I don't know who that is.
He's a Northern Irish star.
So they're using a lot of Europeans.
But, I mean, nice looking guy. I mean, you see him on the street and you know he's
yeah, that's fine. You know, okay.
He's okay. Aiden Turner, number two.
Okay.
Third season of Poldark.
Okay.
Robert Pattinson. It's number three.
It's the dude from Twilight.
Yeah. James McAvoy. It's number four. He was married to Anne-Marie Duff.
Point being, Aaron Rodgers is not going to age as gracefully as George Clooney has. Is my
yeah,
point.
Like this is Luke Evans, who's number five. He's
good-looking
a
dude.
Welsh dude. Played Gaston in the Disney live action reboot of Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. Good looking dude.
Yeah, a nice looking guy. You see him and you know if two of you are walking into the bar, he's leaving with the girl and you're not.
Okay. Point being, maybe are we over exaggerating Aaron Rodgers' ability
because football people.
Well, and because of Olivia Munn even. It's that effect. It's once the really, really hot girl's with you, it makes you appear to be more attractive.
Oh, there's something to be said for the following. If you're a young guy out there listening, if you can't get the hot girl to be yours, see if she will go with you to a club a couple of times. Say, hey, listen, I know you're out of my league. This ain't happening. I get it. But I was kind of wondering if I swear on my life that I'm going to be good. I'll pay for everything. Will you come to the hot popular place with me a couple of times? I just need her, and her to see you with me. They don't know that it's purely platonic and we're just buddies. But you might be able to help me.
Here's the other thing, too. We've talked about this on the podcast. Knowledge and some level of bravery, not exactly wasted on the youth. Go up to the really hot group of girls and ask out the hottest one. That is the advice. Because, she's probably saying no. Maybe she doesn't. If she does, you're just going to walk back with the respect, if nothing else. And maybe the girl that's just not quite as hot goes, I'd be down. And suddenly she actually has a care for you a little bit.
Yeah,
and you get that one.
She's intrigued, if nothing else.
Yeah, I went, hey, right. Nobody else has walked over here and done that. Okay. Do that. That would be my one advice for college kids. Go to a group, and who cares if you get turned down? Go back to your vodka tonic with your buddies and move on with your night. But nothing bad is happening, and something good just might happen. That's my advice. Regular Dr. Drew over here. So, are you still looking at that list?
Yeah, I'm fascinated Stop. By it. Benedict Cumberbatch was 22nd.
Really?
Yep.
I'd be curious in an American version, honestly. But, okay.
Yeah, like this dude, Idris Elba. I'm sorry.
Well,
But no.
You picked a country known for its bad teeth and then looked at their 50 best looking people. What
they're
doing
the same thing, because it's not even best looking. It just means they're TV and movie stars. Come on.
Well, it's kind of what People does, too. I mean, when I was Googling a second ago, like, on the cover of People's 50th, 60th People Alive or whatever, the last few years, the cover people have been Bradley Cooper, Channing Tatum, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Some of those dudes. David Beckham has been on the cover the last few years. 2015. Anyway, all right, we've officially run off the rails now.
Yeah, we're done.
I feel a lot better. My voice is still going just a touch here at the end.
You sound better.
No, I'm okay. I'm fine. It was no strep. There was no flu. Nothing serious. We're on the mend. So Russell has tons of recruiting up at RebelGrove.com. He put up 79 nuggets yesterday. So probably should go read those. Check them out. If you're not subscribed, he would be worth the subscription as recruiting finishing up the next few weeks, heading into National Signing Day on February 7th.
You got your money's worth in one weekend with Russell.
So check him out. His coverage will have more to you, and we'll be back to tomorrow. Talk to you then.